2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. This morning we're going to get into the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. I titled this message here this morning, Persevere and Don't Give Up. Persevere and don't give up. This morning, I wanted to share this message with you because as we come to the end of this first month of January of 2020, I feel it necessary to encourage our church to persevere this year.
Amen, amen.
Does anybody want to persevere this year?
Amen.
Persevere. Perseverance is this. Perseverance is to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty. It's to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty. I'm going to tell you that there's going to be some difficult times in our life. There's going to be some difficult times even in the year 2020. It is the year of double, but there's still going to be some trying times.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to encourage you this morning, no matter how hard it gets, don't give up.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, don't give up.
Don't give up.
And I believe that this message will encourage you and help you this year not to give up. Amen?
Amen.
2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The Word of God reads like this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. It says, you have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. If we was just to read this verse by itself, without looking at any of the previous verses or verses after, or some of the other chapters of this Bible, of this book, we wouldn't understand the last part. The first part sounds great. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That's great right there.
Yeah.
But then this next sentence doesn't fit if we just read it by itself. You have to understand the context that it's written in.
Yeah.
For it says, you have done a foolish thing. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a king named Asa. And he is rebuking this king because this king, as we're going to learn today, he started off well, but didn't end well.
Yeah.
And you may have started off the year well in church on the 21-day fast, giving, serving God. But I'm here to tell you, it's not just how you start,
yeah,
but it's how you finish.
Yeah. Right.
So this is why I want to encourage you this morning to persevere.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, persevere.
Persevere.
Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word, anoint it to our hearts here this morning. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Perseverance is to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty. Here in Victor Outreach Grand Prairie, we have begun a course of action in this new year.
Amen.
We have become a course of action. We have started a course of action. We're calling this year the year of double.
Amen. Amen.
2020, the year of double.
Amen.
And we understand that in order for us to reap the year of double, it's going to take us to love God, to love each other, and to love the lost. That's what it's going to take for us as a church to inherit the year of double. And let me tell you, it's happening. It's happening. I mean, look around. We're packed this morning. And listen, there was people here at the 9 a.m. service. There was people here at the 9 a.m. service. We're inheriting the year of double. Because we have decided that, you know what? We're going to love God with all of our hearts. And if it means for us as the leaders and as the pastors and as some of the ministry workers to be here on Sunday and put in double overtime for me to double preach, for the worship team to double worship, for the ushers to double serve, for the teachers to double serve, we're willing to do it because we love God that much and we love each other that much and we love the lost that much. So we've begun a course of action of having double services. And even some of us, we've begun a 21-day fast.
Yeah.
This is the last week of the 21-day fast. Come on, give God some praise for that. We've been on a Daniel fast. Been staying away from meat sweets. We've been eating vegetables. Huh? Right? Now, you might have fallen off in a little bit. It's all right. Get back on. We fall short of the glory. Huh? But listen, this is our last week. After today, we got 7 more days. We're going to have prayer. I don't think they announced prayer, but we got prayer Monday morning, Wednesday morning, and Friday morning at 5 in the morning. Before you go to work, you can come to the house of God and pray.
Amen.
And worship God.
Amen.
Huh? On Mondays, we're doing that. On Wednesdays and on Fridays, we open up the church from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. for people to come and seek the face of God.
Yeah.
To put God first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto you. Do you want everything else to be added unto you? If you do, then put God first.
Yes.
Amen. And so we begun a course of action on this 21-day fast. Don't throw in the towel. Finish what you started.
Amen.
We begun a course of action by doubling our giving.
Yeah,
we have challenged the church that in February, let's double tithe.
Yeah, amen.
We took a 90-day challenge back in November for those that weren't tithers to become tithers.
And
those that were currently tithers to go up to 15% tithing.
Amen, amen.
And many of our churches took in it and they're doing it.
Right,
and you see it in the giving.
Yes.
But in February, we're challenging you for the last month of the challenge, double tithe.
Wow. Amen, yes.
Many of you have already committed in your hearts.
Amen.
To double tithe. We also started a course of action to having a spirit of excellence.
Amen.
That everything we do, we want to do it with excellence.
Yes.
I want to preach with excellence. We want to worship the Lord with excellence. We want to do evangelism with excellence. Yes. We want to learn with excellence. We want to serve with excellence.
Yes.
We've also chosen to let God use us. Let God use our talents. Let God use our giftings. Maybe this year, personally, you have begun a course of action to draw closer to God.
Amen.
Or to change. You say, you know what, this year in 2020, I'm tired of being the old me. I'm tired of being the same. I want to change in 2020.
Yeah, that's right.
And maybe this is why you're here this morning. Because you know, I want to be different, man. And I know I need the word of God. I know I need prayer. I know I need to be in the presence of God in order for me to change. And so therefore, this is why you're here. But I'm here to encourage you not to give up, not to throw in the towel, not to stop coming, but continue to persevere and allow God to change you. Listen, you can't change yourself. We try to change ourselves. The shrink can't change you. The counselor can't change you. Time didn't change you. TDC didn't change you. Probation and parole didn't change you. It didn't change me. But let me tell you what did change me. Jesus changed me. The blood of Jesus, the word of God changed my life. Prayer changed my life. Worship changed my life. Coming to church changed my life. Hanging around Christians changed my life. Hanging around my leaders and my pastors begin to change my life. Maybe that's the course of action you've chosen.
Yeah.
Listen, you can't start it and not finish it.
Yeah.
You're not going to reap the year of double. You're not going to reap that change if you start without finishing. So maybe personally you have started a course of action, maybe even to be healthier.
Amen.
Oh, hello somebody.
Amen.
You got that good old Black Planet Fitness card.
Yeah.
Come on somebody.
Yeah.
You got that gym membership.
Amen.
You started the keto.
Oh.
Just don't let it turn into the Edo.
Oh.
Right? Maybe this year you started a course of action. Listen, the only way you're going to reap the results is if you persevere.
Right.
As if you don't give up. As if you don't throw in the towel.
That's right.
Maybe you started this year to personally say, you know, I want to enlarge this year. not physically, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I want to grow. Now, it's getting close to that time of the year where people begin to fall off of their New Year's resolutions. Come on, somebody. By now, it's like they stop going to the gym. They're at Jim's Pizza now. Amen. I still go to the gym, Pastor. Jim's Pizza. Listen, I don't know if you kept your New Year's resolutions last year, but in 2020, finish what you started. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, finish what you started. Yeah. Tell them, persevere. Yeah. See, this verse was originally spoken to King Asa of Judah. He was the king of Judah. It was spoken to him by a prophet of God. This verse was really a rebuke. I know that we like to quote this verse as an encouragement. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's encouraging. But it's this at the end, it makes sense. He's talking to King Asa, and he says, King Asa, you have done a foolish thing. And from now on, you're going to be at war.
Right, yeah.
See, this verse was written to King Asa. This was a rebuke to the king for not trusting in God to deliver him and to deliver his nation. Listen, in order to persevere in the things of God, you must trust God.
There it is. Amen.
You know why people throw in the towel and they stop serving God, or they stop coming to church, or they stop serving God? It's because they stop trusting in God.
Wow. That's true.
It takes trust. It takes trusting in God to come to church. It takes trusting in God to give your tithes. It takes trusting in God to be involved in ministry. It takes trusting in God to do what God told you to do so that you can change. Because God will tell you to give up some stuff. God will tell you to cut some relationships sometimes. God will tell you to go quit hanging around some places. And these are things that you're used to. These are things that it's like nature, secondhand nature for you to do. And so you're just used to going to these places. You're used to doing these things. And it's like you have developed an addiction to it. You can't see yourself not doing those things.
Come on, Pastor.
And it's going to take you trusting God to give up those things, because God knows what he's talking about. God knows that those people, places, and things are not healthy for you.
Right.
But that's all you know. You've lived like that all your life. We've lived like this all our life. What do you mean I gotta change friends?
Oh my God.
What do you mean I gotta change the way I talk? What do you mean I gotta change the way I dress? Oh, come on, somebody. Because even in the way we do, we're like, well, this is how I've been this whole time.
Come on now.
And it takes trusting in the Lord. In order to persevere in the things of God, you must trust God. You must persevere, and you must not retreat. You must not retreat. Once you started serving God, there is no going back. No retreat, no surrender. I said, no retreat, no surrender, my friend. Do not wave the little white flag. Do not throw in the towel. Come on, somebody. Because God is just going to throw it right back at you and tell you, at least put some sweat on it. You can't retreat. You can't recant. You know, recant is going back on your word.
Wow.
You can't recant. You gave God your word that you were going to serve him. When you gave your life to Jesus, you gave God your word, por vida, for life. I'm yours, Jesus. So many Christians recant.
Wow.
You can't recant. You can't renege. Renege. Renege means, and I looked up the word because I thought that was just slang, right? So I Googled it, and it's actual word. Renege. It means to go back on a promise. That's what renege means. To go back on a promise. Don't you hate when people go back on a promise? Man, you promised me. Come on, somebody, right? Especially when you were little kids. right? And your mom and your dad promise to take you to Six Flags? Or promise to take you to Chuck E. Cheese? Huh? What was your first? You promise! Right? We didn't like that. We got in the flesh. We got bad. Huh? You can't, listen, to renege is to go back on a promise. To renege is to go back on a contract.
Wow. Huh? There it is.
See? You're not fulfilling what the contract says.
Yeah.
King Asa began to renege in his commitment to God.
Yeah.
He began to renege in his commitment to God. And I'm going to show you this morning that. They say this. They say to be wise is to learn from your mistakes. Uh-huh. Listen, if you keep on making the same mistakes, you're not wise. Learn from your mistakes.
Wow.
Ladies. Can I talk to the ladies for a minute? Learn from your mistakes. You know how they look. You know how they talk. Come on, you know. Come on, somebody. Huh? Learn from their mistakes. Guys, too. Hello, somebody. Huh? Learn from our mistakes. To be wise is to, they say to be wise is to learn from your mistakes, but to be wiser is to learn from both your mistakes and other people's mistakes. How many want to be wiser? See, I want to be wise and learn from my own mistakes, but I want to be wiser and learn not only from my mistakes, but I want to learn from other people's mistakes. Because you can learn from other people's mistakes and say, oh, that didn't work out for them. So what makes me think that it's going to work for me? Sadly, many of us don't have our eyes open. We need to have our eyes open to see. If it ain't going to work for them, it's not going to work for us. See, so let's take a look at King Asa's good decisions and his bad ones so that we can learn from his mistakes. You see, King Asa, he started off very well. This guy, King Asa, he started off really good. Look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1 through 6. It says this. It's on the screen. And it says, and Abijah, which was the king before King Asa, and Abijah rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. Asa, his son, succeeded him as king, and in his days, the country was at peace for 10 years. Asa, listen to this, listen to this. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God.
Come on.
There it is. He started off well.
Yep.
This is what he did. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. What's that? He's cutting things out.
Yeah.
Hmm? Good. He removed the foreign altars and the high places. He smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. These were like statues created for different gods. He said, you know what? We're only going to worship the one true God. Get rid of all those idols.
Yeah.
He's cutting things away. Mm. Verse 4. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the king. He can do what he wants. He says, you know what? I command you to seek the Lord. As for me and my nation, we're going to serve God.
Yeah. Come on now.
If you don't like it, get out of my city. Get out of my country. Mm. That's what King Asa did. He commanded them to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Huh? He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and his commands. Mm. Verse 5, he removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah. He's cleaning up house. He got rid of the bars. He closed down the clubs. He closed down the topless bars.
Come on.
Huh? He closed down the liquor stores, the beer stores, the dope houses.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. He said, we're cleaning house. And it says, and the kingdom was at peace under him. See, when you begin to clean house, you begin to have the peace of God upon your life. When you begin to clean house, you begin to have peace in your marriage. You begin to have the peace in your family. They may be a little rough at the beginning because when you begin to clean house, you begin to rock the boat. People don't begin to like, what do you mean we ain't drinking for the Super Bowl party this year? What do you mean I can't smoke no more in your house?
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Right,
you start to ruffle up feathers a little bit. Huh? But he's cleaning house. But listen, it's worth it when you have the peace of God upon your life.
Amen.
Huh? Verse 6 says, he built up the fortified cities of Judah since the land was at peace. No one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. See, when you do what's right in the eyes of God, yes, God will give you rest. You know what that means? You'll live a stress-free life.
Amen.
Oh, you know what that means? No more grays for us. Hello, somebody. Because we die up. No, I'm just kidding. So we see in these verses, Asa started off on the right track. That's what the Bible teaches us here. He did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. In other words, Asa was God conscious. Asa was in the same circumstance that we find ourselves in today when it comes to God. God did not physically appear to Asa. He did not audibly speak to Asa. In other words, hey, Asa, this is God. Break down the false gods. He didn't do that to Asa. And if God has spoken to you like that, here, grab this microphone. You come up here, please, because I need to hear from you. Right? I've never heard God speak to me, hey, Francisco. I haven't heard it like that. I hear him when I read the Bible.
Yeah.
I hear him when I come to a church service and sit in the preaching.
Yeah.
See, Asa, it's the same way. God didn't speak to God like that. But God spoke, how God dealt with them, he dealt with them much like he deals with us. How? Through a man of God.
Yeah, right.
Through a man of God. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tokia. 2 Chronicles 20:20. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, it says, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful.
Second
Chronicles 20:20. It says, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Meaning, if you trust in God, he's not going to let you fall. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, have faith in his prophets. And you will be successful.
Wow, there it is.
You want to be successful?
Yeah.
You got to also trust the man of God.
Yes.
You got to have faith, man. You got to have faith. And listen, just don't trust me because I tell you to. Trust me because I'm reading the Bible to you.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Trust me because, listen, you're following along. This is why you should bring your Bible to church so that you can see I'm not preaching false doctrine.
Come on, that's right.
But what I'm preaching is in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Take notes. Go back and reread the scriptures and prove me that, listen, yep, pastor was preaching the truth there.
Yeah, amen.
Check me. Hello, somebody. I ain't got no problem with you checking my homework.
Yeah.
I used to have a problem with my siblings checking my homework when I was little. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? See, Asa here, God was dealing with him through a man of God. King Asa, at the beginning of his calling as king of Judah, was very sensitive to what he perceived God would have him to do. Are you sensitive to what you perceive God would have you to do?
Come on.
Listen, see, so this is why it's important that you have a leader in your life, that you have a Christian leader, a pastor, a shepherd in your life, that you can get direction from, that you can get guidance from. Because sometimes it may seem like God is speaking to you, but sometimes you need to bounce things off of your pastor.
Yeah.
Good.
Because let me tell you something, there's spirits out there too that want to lead you astray. There's deceiving spirits that will try to get you to run ahead of God.
Wow, there it is.
But we need to stay in tune with God.
Man.
So, King Asa, at the beginning of his calling as king of Judah, he was very sensitive to what God would have him do. I like to compare King Asa to the modern day Christian. The modern day Christian, when he is first called by God, that person begins to, he starts to clean house. He starts to clean house like Asa. Asa started to clean up the nation and put down false gods and false idols. And that's how the Christian is at the beginning of his conversion, at the beginning of his salvation. We start to clean house. We start to cut things out of our lives. And you know what that's called? That's called progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification is the active process of obedient faith, which the Holy Spirit works inside of us that transforms us in time and gives us results of greater holiness. In other words, it is a process. It is a process that the Holy Spirit is working inside of us to change. We don't change overnight.
That's right.
I didn't get like this overnight. I didn't become a pastor overnight. Yeah. And I know you may look at me, oh, you're a pastor, you're a preacher. Okay, you got a preachers got stigmas, right? Mm. Pastors got stigmas. But let me tell you, I wasn't always a pastor. Mm. I was a gang member. I was out there lost. But that change happened, it didn't happen overnight. It happened as God saved me, the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of me. The Holy Spirit began to convict me of the way I was living. The Holy Spirit convict me of doing drugs. The Holy Spirit convict me of cussing all the time. The Holy Spirit convict me of being mean and being violent and being bitter and being all those things that came with that lifestyle. The Holy Spirit brought conviction upon my life. And the Holy Spirit started saying, you got to stop being like that. You got to change. Help you change. And I started to give those things to God. And as I gave those things to God, change started to take in place in my life. I stopped smoking weed. I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped hanging around with the homies. I stopped going to clubs and to parties. I stopped messing around with women. Hello, somebody. And you know, man, that's not easy to do, but we stopped messing around with women. I started to be holy. I started to go to church. I didn't used to go to church every Sunday, but I started one Sunday going to church, and I enjoyed the message. I enjoyed the preaching. I loved the presence of God, and I kept on going one Sunday after another Sunday, and then I started to go on a Wednesday Bible study, and then I said, man, I just keep wanting more. Every time the doors of the church are open, I want to be there. And it was a gradual change, but it's called progressive sanctification. You should always be going forward. You should not be taking steps backwards.
Wow, man.
Progressive sanctification.
Yeah.
We don't come in holy, and we're not instantly made holy. Matter of fact, we won't be perfect till we get to heaven. But this is why progressive sanctification is important. We will always, while on this earth, have to be in this process.
Wow.
When we first come to God, when we're not saved, we're slaves to sin.
Right.
When we get saved, we begin in this process of progressive sanctification, and we begin to grow in holiness.
Yeah.
And when we grow in holiness, we're going to have some ups and we're going to have some downs.
Yeah.
Ups and downs. Ups and downs. Some days you feel like praying and you're praying. You have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. And then the next day you don't feel like praying. And it's like God ain't even hearing your prayers. Your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. They're not even reaching heaven. And the next day you're praying, you're in the Word, you're back on fire for God. There's ups and downs, but you're gradually going up, up, up. But you'll never get to the place of perfection until you're dead.
Right, man.
Because dead people can't sin.
Come on,
somebody. You want to be perfect? That means you want to be dead. Amen. You still want to be perfect? Right? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Right. Come on.
So we see King Asa clean house in the beginning in chapter 14. And then again, he does the same thing in chapter 15. You can read it for yourself later on. In chapter 15, he begins to clean house again.
Yeah.
He cleans house again. Let me read it. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 1 says this. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Obadiah. He went out to meet Asa, King Asa, and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Listen right here. Obadiah is a prophet of God, and he's talking to King Asa. He says, the Lord is with you when you are with him. Think about that. The Lord is with you when you are with him.
Wow,
that means when you're not with him, he ain't with you. When you're out there clubbing, he ain't with you.
Oh, that is.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.
Wow.
That means if you walk away from him, he's going to walk away from you.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
God ain't like some of us people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when we have bad relationships, they left. No, don't leave. I still love you. And they're over there with somebody else. But I love you.
Oh, come on.
God said, you ain't playing me. I ain't no fool.
Mm.
He said, you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Now, this cut raw, right? It says this: the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long, don't get mad at me either. This is the Bible. Amen. Take it up with the Bible. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord. Isn't that people?
Yeah.
We leave God, but when something happens bad to us, we turn to God.
Yeah,
it's all right. The God of Israel and sought him, and he was found by them. See, when you do finally turn to God, God says, okay, I'm here. In other words, you come back to him, he'll come back to you. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. Right? One nation was being crushed by another and one city by another because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up. For your work will be rewarded. See, God is saying, this year, don't give up. Because there's a reward for it. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Obadiah, the prophet took courage. He was encouraged when he heard these words. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in the front of the portico of the Lord's temple. He began to work on God's house. Then he assembled all Judah and Benjamin and the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who had settled among them, for large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. What did he do? He began changes again. And then he began to assemble. He fixed the house of God, and then he began to tell people, come on, let's worship God now. So King Asa, he started off well, and in the middle, he had a good run also. But at the end is where there's a problem. The piano player can come up. So it's important to note that in the first case, King Asa cleaning house, it started from his own personal conviction to change things. But then later on, in the second time he started cleaning house, it came as a result as a message from the man of God. Because God seen his heart through King Asa's actions, he began to bring change, not only to himself, but to his community. And let me tell you something. Whenever you begin to change inside yourself, let me tell you something, that change is not just for you. But whenever you change, you begin to change the outside circumstances around you. When I gave my life to the Lord, God started to change me.
Yeah.
But you know, he didn't stop there. As he changed me, God began to use me to change circumstances around me. Because when I got saved, listen, I was messed up. I had two daughters. They were growing up seeing daddy getting high, going to jail. If I would have stayed on that course of action, they probably wouldn't be here serving God today. But because change started happening in me, today, they're serving God. Because it could have been easily done that they could have been out there partying and doing drugs and maybe in prison. But because God started to change my life, things around me started to change. Because God started to change in my life, all of a sudden he was able one day to raise me up and send me to a city, Arlington and Grand Prairie, so that change can begin to happen around me.
Amen. That's right. Come on, baby.
See? You know what this is? This is change right here.
Yes.
Amen.
You're changing.
Amen.
You're changing.
Amen.
You weren't in church before, but here you are in the house of God.
Amen.
Imagine if you change inside. Imagine the changes that begin to happen around you.
Wow.
Imagine the people that you used to lead to the devil, the people that you used to lead to sin. Then they hear your change, and when they hear your testimony, how they're going to be motivated, they can be stirred. Maybe you don't know, maybe they're thinking inside that they want to change too, and they're just waiting for somebody to take the step of faith and begin to change and go to church and serve God. And they see you begin to make that change, and all of a sudden it sparks something inside of them to say, you know what, I've been thinking about doing the same thing, but I've been afraid to, because I don't know what people are going to think or what people are going to say. But when they begin to see you serve God, all of a sudden it motivates them, it encourages them, it gives them courage to say, if they did it, then I could do it. King Asa started off well, but let's read how he ended, and I'll be done. Second Chronicles 16. Put that last verse up there for me. Let me see the address, because I'm lost on my iPad. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 1 through 9. It says this: in the 36th year of Asa's reign, Bashan, king of Israel, went up against Judah. Remember, Judah's his country. Judah's king Asa's territory. Listen to what it says. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Bashan, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. You know what he's doing? He's cutting off all supply of food to King Asa's kingdom, because he surrounded it with his army. And he's saying, nobody's leaving and nobody's coming in. Nobody's going to leave to go get anything, and nobody's going to come in to bring you anything. He was trying to destroy the kingdom of Asa. What does Asa do? This is what he does. Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasures of the Lord's temple. Talk about robbing God. And it says, and of his own palace, and sent it to Ben-Hadad, another king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. He says, let there be a treaty between me and you. He's making a treaty with the devil. With the enemy. He said, as there was between my father and your father. His father was wicked. His father did bad. Yeah. It says, see, I am sending you silver and gold. He's trying to buy him for protection. Yeah. He says, now break your treaty with Bashan, king of Israel, the one that's trying to come against him, so he will withdraw from me. He's leaning on his own understanding. Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. They conquered Lijon, Dan, Abel, Meam, and all the store cities of Naphtali. When Bashan heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. In other words, he went back to save his own city. He left Asa alone in his nation. So it kind of worked. But listen to what happens. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Bashan had been using with them. He built up Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hananiah the seer, this is a prophet, a seer. When you see the word seer, that means a prophet. He sees the things of God. Yeah. He says, at the time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa the king of Judah and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord, your God, the army of the kingdom of Aram has escaped from your hand. In other words, God was planning to put a beat down on King Aram.
Yeah.
If you would have turned to God, he would have gave you a great victory.
Yeah.
If you would have not stopped trusting God, he would have gave you a great victory. He says, but you, because you trusted in the king of Aram and not the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Then it says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Then he says, King Asa, you have done a foolish thing.
Wow.
From now on, you're going to be at war. Why? Because he stopped trusting God.
Wow, there it is.
This year, don't stop trusting God.
Okay. There it is.
Persevere.
Yes.
Don't quit. Don't rely on the things of this world like King Asa did.
Wow.
Don't start trusting in your money and in your power.
Wow.
when you get into a jam, persevere and remember, if he delivered you back then, he'll deliver you again. Amen. Trust God in 2020. Amen. And don't trust yourself. Wow. I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning. Make a commitment to change this year. Make a commitment to change. King Asa did great at the beginning, but he stopped changing at the end. Make a commitment not to give up this year. Don't give up. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 7 says, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." What have you started this year? Have you started coming to church, trusting God? Don't give up on that, because God's going to reward you for that. Amen. Have you started making some changes for the good to serve God? Don't give up on that, because God is, though it tarry, it's going to come. God will reward you. Remember that quitters never win and winners never quit. I made a commitment a long time ago not to give up on my God, not to give up on my family, not to give up on my calling, and not to give up on my ministry. I made a commitment and said, no matter how hard it gets, God, because listen, I've been serving God. It's going to be 20 years this year. I got to say, I gave my life to the Lord in the year 2000, March 4th, 2000. This March will be 20 years of me serving God. Did it get hard? You better believe it's gotten hard. Was there times where the enemy has tempted me to trust in myself? And have I trusted in myself? Yeah, there's been times where I probably trusted in my own strength. But I got chastised for it too. God dealt with me for it too.
That's right.
There's been times. But you know what? The whole 20 years, I can say, man, I made a commitment. So I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop reading my Bible. I'm not going to stop coming to church. I'm not going to stop tithing. I'm not going to stop serving people. I'm going to continue to preach. I'm going to continue to evangelize. I'm going to continue to do what God called me to be. I'm going to continue to obey the word of God. I made a commitment. And make a commitment also to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. This is where Asa got it wrong. He stopped trusting God. Don't stop trusting God, people. Listen, whenever you're tempted to do something wrong, to sin, you're not trusting God. When you're tempted to fornicate or to commit adultery or to lie or to steal or to cheat, listen, that's not trusting God. You got to say, you know what, man, no matter what, I'm going to tell the truth. No matter what, I'm going to do the right thing. No matter what, you know, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to honor God with my life. That's trusting God. You could say you trust God all day, but are you living it with your actions? Make a commitment to trust the Lord. Make a commitment to trust the Lord. And you know what? Does it get tiresome and worrisome? Yeah. You might get tired. It gets hard. But this is why the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is saying he will strengthen those who are fully committed to him, because he knows that it does get tiresome, and you will get tired sometimes coming to church on Sunday morning, going on Friday, going to Bible study, being involved in ministry, being a leader. Come on, somebody, lead. Are the leaders in the house? Sometimes it gets wearisome. It gets tired to lead. But you know what? God strengthens those who stay committed, who stay faithful, and say, no matter what, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to stay on the front lines. I'm going to continue to stay on the battlefront. I'm going to continue to keep my hand to the plow, because God has his eye on you. God has his eye on the committed person. God has his eye on the loyal person. God has his eye on the faithful person. And he sees when they're getting tired. And when they're getting tired, he says, let me give them more of the Holy Ghost. Let me put some more leaders around them. Let me give them a word that they can stand on, a promise that they can stand on. And that promise refreshes our soul. And all of a sudden we get a fresh wind. A fresh wind. It's like me preaching. I could preach in the first service and I'm a little tired after that. But I come and I begin to preach right now. I feel like I got a fresh wind. Because it's God. It's the anointing of God. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. He begins to refresh me and anoint you. He'll do the same thing for you as you stay committed. Persevere. Stay on this course of action. Don't give up. Don't, I've seen too many give up. I've seen too many throw in the towel. I've seen people, I've seen girls come in. They come in and they come in. Oh, I'm going to find me a man of God. But when every man of God turns them down because they ain't here for that, they throw in the towel. I've seen men come in and they be, I'm going to find me a woman of God. And they don't get a woman of God real fast. Because listen, that's not God. God didn't, he's not here for that. You, God is here to change your life. And then once you change, then he can trust you with his daughter. Then he can trust you with his son. But if there ain't no change in your heart yet, so many come in, they want the blessing real fast. I say, no, you gotta learn to be committed first. You gotta learn to persevere first. You gotta be tested first. Because he doesn't want to give you something that's gonna wreck, that you're gonna use, and it's just gonna get you in a wreck. Or you're gonna wreck something. He says, no. I need to teach them to persevere. I need to teach them to trust me and be steady and trust in me year in and year out. I gave my life. God didn't bring me my wife, my rib, till 7 years later. I gave my life to the Lord in the year 2000. I didn't get married till 2007. And for those 7 years, I stayed pure. I was a born-again virgin. Get that. I became a born-again virgin. Stay pure unto the Lord. And I wasn't over there hitting on all the church girls. They were hitting on me. I'm saying, not all of them, but some of them. They come in. I said, girl, no, you didn't try to hit on me. I gave him the hand real quick. Gave him the cold shoulder real quick. I said, nah, I don't think you're for me. Because you're still playing games in church. Homie, don't play that. Huh? I said, I'm going to look for me a woman of God, a holy woman of God. A woman of God. Sylvia never hit on me, and I never hit on her. We were just friends in the ministry. But we were committed. We were committed to God. We were committed to our ministry. We were committed to our pastors. We were committed to this vision. And God brought us together. He rewarded us. He rewarded us because of our faithfulness. And this is our reward this morning. You are our reward. This blesses me. I see a full house. It blesses me. Because I know it's nothing to me. I'm nobody, man. I'm a dummy. I know this is only God. I know this is only God rewarding our faithfulness. God wants to reward your faithfulness. Lift your hands to the Lord. Worship the Lord. If you're going to stay faithful to God, if you're going to persevere this year, if you're going to persevere, just worship Him. Worship Him. As the worship team sings something, I'm not going to make an altar call this morning. I went a little long. But we're going to worship the Lord for a little bit. So right there, make your altar call between you and God by lifting your hands. Just lift your hands. And worship it and make that commitment between you and God to say, you know what? I'm gonna